Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the message today, and to help us think more about how the Lord is our shepherd, I'm delighted that we've got a talk from Phil Jump, who's the Northwest Regional Minister for the Northwest Baptist Association. And this is from one of his midweek reflections, which he's been doing every week throughout lockdown.
Well, hello and welcome to another online reflection from the Northwestern Baptist Association in the UK. This week I had the privilege of taking part in a service to say farewell to one of our ministers who'd served the church that he was in for a couple of decades. So while there was a fair amount of sadness, there was also a good deal of appreciation and goodwill as people gathered online, of course, to say their farewells. And the church gave him a number of symbolic gifts, one of which was an ordnance survey map of the area to which he was going to be moving. Now, it wasn't this particular one. This is one that I happen to own, but it was something similar to that. Now, that was partly prompted by his love of fell walking, but it was also a recognition that he was going to a new place. There was a new landscape to explore, and they would find a map of the area invaluable. Now, like I said, there was a fair amount of symbolism in that, and it was used then as a basis for prayer for his family as they embarked on this new chapter in their lives together. And it was really this that made me stop and think about what that map actually represented. You know, I first came across ordnance survey maps when I was at school in geography lessons, and we were taught to read them and to understand them so that we could learn about and understand how the terrain was formed. And very often we were looking at landscapes and shapes that were thousands of years old, and they told a story of what had happened over those thousands of years. You know, so we were taught to recognize that a particular shape of mountain or valley floor was a sign of glaciation during the Ice Age, or it was explained to us how the various layers and contours of the land represented the different floodplains that had been formed in different stages of a river's existence. And that was what struck me in that moment. Here was a map that was quite legitimately being used as a symbol of a new journey, a new experience, a new moment in the life of this little group of Christian disciples. And yet the story that this collection of lines and symbols told was the story of something that had existed and been formed for centuries. And I found it how intriguing, how something that conveyed ancient and age-old landscapes and pathways could so eloquently speak of a new journey, a new beginning, new opportunities, new challenges. Now, a lot has been said about maps in recent weeks. It's one of those phrases that we've used quite a bit through this pandemic. Whenever we meet a new uncertainty or setback, or for that matter, a new possibility or a new opportunity, we tend to be promised a roadmap, some clear direction for how we are going to get through it or to it or whatever else is required. But if you think about it, that's not really what a map does. If I return to the example that I began with, the map that was presented to this particular person didn't tell him which way to go. It wasn't a set of instructions to blindly follow. It gave him an oversight of the terrain. It painted a picture of the landscape in which he would now need to find his own way. And I guess you could say, well, you know, if it's been there that long, if these paths are so well trod, then why do we need a map? What is the new to learn? But the simple truth is that there is everything to learn. You have the map, not because others have travelled through that land, but because you're going to travel through that land for yourself. And you need to know what that landscape means for you in the here and now. And as this particular map was handed over, it was accompanied with some words from the biblical prophet Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And you find those words in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Now, these are quite profound and attractive words. There is something deeply reassuring about walking in ancient paths as we face the uncertainty of the present. To be able to walk in ways that are tried and tested and laced with the experience and wisdom of many generations that have gone before, that is certainly a very attractive option. So there's something deeply inviting about that. And there's something deeply inviting about that conclusion, that through that, you will find rest for your souls, because there are many things at the moment that might trouble and concern us. So seeking a stillness of soul is a very important aspect of our well-being. And for this particular family, along with everything else that we're all having to confront at the moment, of course, there was for them the need to embrace new challenges, new opportunities, a new destination, and a new place in which to find and make their home. And though the landscape was ancient, they were navigating it for the first time. For them, it was a new challenge and a new experience. But as I looked those words up in Jeremiah chapter 6, it wasn't quite as reassuring as I might have hoped for. Because after the prophet utters this inspiring divine invitation, he then finishes with an absolutely blunt retort. Basically, yeah, but you didn't follow them. God may have invited you to walk in those ancient paths, but you wouldn't walk in them. And we sometimes do that with God's word. We kind of isolate a couple of sentences and we focus in on them without recognizing the meaning that surrounds them. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet with a difficult message, a message that many people just did not want to hear, a message that they were not going to stay safe and unharmed by everything that was going on around them. And he was pretty devastating with his diagnosis of things. You're in this state because you haven't walked in the ways of God. Now, I'm not therefore looking to get into some big judgmental rant when I say and sort of somehow say, you know, we've all brought this calamity on ourselves. But perhaps this situation that we're in right now might cause us to just stop and ask ourselves some questions about the paths that we do follow. Because as that map was handed over, it struck me that while it is the most honest representation of reality and the most accurate representation of reality, the map in and of itself can make you do nothing. It only becomes useful if you're committed to walking in the right ways and taking heed of what the map tells you. And it was with that in mind that I was then drawn to some words of Jesus recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 8. I am the light of the world, he says. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's interesting that, again, what follows these words is a pretty difficult conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day, as they made it pretty clear that they were not impressed by what he had to say. I am the light of the world. These are well-known words of Jesus, and often when I see them displayed, they will be accompanied by a picture of a light, usually a decorative, warm, attractive light, a light that tends to draw us to itself. But as I looked again at these words, and I heard that invitation for us to follow. It struck me that, yeah, sometimes a light can draw us to itself, but there are other times when the purpose of a light is to shine away from us, to direct its beam across the landscape so that we can see where we're going. And as I thought again about that map, I imagined those words of Jesus like a light shining on the map or shining across the landscape that the map represented, pointing out those pathways that need to be followed, pointing out the reality of the terrain. You know, Jesus came as a new voice, bringing what many saw as a new message. But it's John, the gospel writer, who recognizes that Jesus is the Word made flesh, the embodiment of those ancient messages, those ancient pathways of wisdom and truth that God invites us to follow. And as we continue and face new and unexpected circumstances, perhaps there's something in that for us. Every day will bring its own new and unique experiences and challenges, but this is ancient terrain to our timeless God. So forgive this rather long-winded introduction to the chapter from our scriptures that I actually want you to meditate on, which is actually an Old Testament psalm, probably the most familiar and well-known psalm that there is. And it maps out a landscape of incredible contrasts, a landscape that is not all that different from what many of us are travelling through at the moment. Yes, it's a psalm that's thousands of years old. It's a psalm that's been around for as long as some of the features on that ordnance survey map. But we are engaging with these words in circumstances that are different to anything we have faced before. Because frankly, no day is entirely the same as any day that's gone before. And I simply want to invite you, therefore, to hear, probably hear again, the words of this very famous psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of death's shadow, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And like I said, for many people, these will be very familiar words. The map, so to speak, has been around for a very long time. But like every other map, we need to take notice of it because it represents the landscape that we are walking in now. Though I walk through the valley of death's shadow, he says, these words have a particular resonance with our current circumstances, and I'm recording this particular reflection in the week that marks a year since my home nation of the UK went into lockdown, and many thousands of people have died since then. And while there are so many phrases and images that we might draw from this psalm, I want to centre our thinking on that one. And I want to invite you to look at the rest of the psalm, so to speak, from the perspective of that valley of shadow. Now, you might say that there are at least three terrains in this psalm. There are the green pastures and the still waters, a place that I am sure we would all prefer to remain and stay. But the psalm is honest and it acknowledges that life is not always like that. And then at the other end, so to speak, there is the destination, a table laden with good things and a house of the Lord in which we can dwell forever. But in between them is a valley of shadows and fear. And God's promise is not that he can find a way around that valley. What he promises is to navigate that terrain with us. Jesus is the light that we're called to follow. Jesus is the light that illuminates the reality of our journey with all its challenges and struggles, but he also shows us a way through it. The Lord is my shepherd, we are reminded. God will journey with us through it. Your rod and your staff give me comfort, or confidence might be another way of translating it. And many writers over the years have sought to explain the particular imagery of these two tools of the shepherd's trade, so to speak. Some argue that one represents discipline while the other represents healing. Some say that one represents the shepherd's authority and the other one represents the shepherd's care. Or perhaps the writer just needed two words to fit the meter and the rhyme of the psalm. I don't know. But I find it helpful to consider them as representing who God is and what God can do. And even if they're not the right representation, we can draw strength from who God is and what God can do. And the one thing that they definitely represent is God's presence with us in the valley. But there's something else about this psalm that I particularly want to invite you to recognize and perhaps use it as a way of taking it away to reflect on personally or as a group. It begins as a psalm about God, but it ends as an engagement with God. The Lord is my shepherd, he begins. He leads me. He makes me lie down. But then the language changes. You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. And where is it that the mood changes? It's when the psalm writer's journey is through the valley of shadows. It's in the tough place that the writer seems to become aware of God, not as someone to talk about, but someone to know. And as I was sharing these thoughts with some of our NWBA ministers earlier this week, one of them summed this up beautifully. They put it this way. We all know the psalm, she said, but the challenge in this moment is, do we know the shepherd? We all know the psalm, but how well do we know the shepherd? And I just want to offer you that to ponder, not as a judgment or a criticism, but as an invitation. Because the God about whom this psalm is written, the God that we encounter in Jesus, promises to be with us through his Spirit. And he invites us to get to know the shepherd. And the shepherd in question has been walking with those who will follow for centuries. If anyone knows the ancient paths, it will be this shepherd. That map, presented to a much loved minister, offered itself as a very useful symbol, but it has the potential to be invaluable, or it has the potential to be frankly useless. And which of those two it becomes has nothing to do with the map, but whether or not the person who received it chooses to seek out those ancient paths and to take notice of that map, or just to ignore it. Now, it might sound offensive for me to describe Psalm 23, this wonderful psalm, as useless. But frankly, it is, if no one takes notice of what it has to say. Just like those words of Jeremiah sound so profound and inviting, and yet they suddenly turn into an indictment and a condemnation because people had refused to respond to them. And so as we map out the realities at the moment, as we are offered whatever roadmaps come our way, there is no doubt that we are facing a deep and difficult valley. But we have a shepherd who offers us a simple invitation. Trust me to lead you in the ancient paths. Get to know me as we walk together in the ways of goodness. And you will find rest, or as Psalm 23 puts it, restoration for your soul. Thanks for listening.